Today on Wings, the Gen Z uprising in Kenya.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings.
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
Gen Z, or Gen Z, are defined as persons born between 1996 and 2010, so between 14 and 28 years old. They formed the bulk of the protesters who filled the streets of Nairobi on June 25, 2024. More than 20 protesters invaded the Parliament building, wrecked some areas, and set a fire. Ahead of the invasion, the members of Parliament voted quickly to pass the finance bill, then fled to hide out in an underground bunker. Two disabled MPs who were physically unable to flee and left behind said the protesters were respectful and helped them get where they wanted to go safely. The protesters won a presidential concession. President Ruto would not sign the already passed finance bill, though real results for the public are still uncertain. Kenya's foreign debt load is said to be about 70% of its entire gross domestic product. Demonstrators called for a halt to corruption and wasteful government spending and rejected the bill's massive tax increases, placing the burden on youth trying to get a start in life and their families. Youth constitute the vast majority of Kenya's population. The median age is around 19, and about 80% are under 35 years old. Our Wings reporter in Kenya, Diana Wanyonyi, captured sound from the demonstration and interviewed women involved in the campaign.
My name is Purity Praise. I'm from Mombasa, and I'm here to reject the finance bill 2024.
One of the new taxes Purity resisted affects only women. Kenya was the first country to remove the sales tax on menstrual products.
Even the parts that are manufactured locally were expensive.
Under the Finance Act, these products would have become subject to the value-added tax at the standard rate of 16%. Purity is also outraged about a separate bill to tax traditionally owned freehold lands that are in or near an urban area.
We are used to having freehold on title deeds, and now the government is going to own our land.
Here's reporter Diana Wanyonyi.
Human rights groups said that on Tuesday, 23 people were killed and over 300 others injured after the police used tear gas and bullets to respond to protesters in different parts of Kenya. Elizabeth Wanjeri is the representative of Law Society of Kenya.
I'm Elizabeth Wanjeri, the LSK Coast representative. On behalf of the LSK, we want to say we are losing 20-year-olds, people who have their lives, all their lives ahead of them. It's very unfortunate, and we are very saddened by this death. What we are saying is that the government and its agencies should be very measured in the manner in which it is dealing with protesters who are largely peaceful and unarmed. It does not make sense to even use live bullets for people who the only thing they are carrying are flags and water bottles. We ask the government that it is a high time that they address the issues and stop using a lot of force on the protesters, but let us address the issues. We also call upon the church and all the religious organizations that it is a high time now that they stop issuing statements and actually join the people on the ground to actually deal with these issues. The issues being raised are genuine, and I think killing people now makes people even more angry. So what we are saying is let the government deal with the issues and stop this use of excessive force on the population.
One legal issue that was raised was the government's use of the army, the Kenya Defense Forces, against the protesters. Again, Elizabeth Wanjeri from the Law Society of Kenya.
Even as they have decided to dispatch the KDF, everything they do should be done within the law. It is our position that the same has not been done legally. Let the government not be in a situation where it is the one that is breaking the law, but they expect the population to actually obey the law.
The Law Society of Kenya petitioned the Supreme Court about the legality of the use of the military. On June 27th, the High Court upheld the deployment of Kenya Defense Forces to assist the police in quelling the ongoing protests. However, the court retains powers to receive and deal with complaints or violations as long as military intervention lasts. The judge agreed with the Kenya Law Society that this was a dangerous trend and said that the public should have been more widely notified about the deployment of the military.
So we ask the government to be measured, to follow the law, and we ask the president. He is supposed to be a uniting factor in this country. Let him take up his position and unite the country instead of dividing the country further.
President Ruto campaigned on a platform of bringing Kenyans together, cutting corruption, and reducing the country's burden of debt. Last year, he attended a summit expected to plan reform of international lending structures that harm developing countries, but apparently came away without success.
A bill that is to make money is worth more value than my life.
Diana's next interviewee explains why Gen Z came out en masse and to the streets.
Hi, Diana. My name is Nyawanga Owor. I like to think I wear many hats. So I am a 20-year-old law student. I'm also studying data analysis. I'm a youth leader. I'm a youth activist. I represent a community called Light Heart Club. Light Heart Club is the leading youth social platform in Africa, where we basically just raise a lot of insight into what young people are experiencing, and we form a community to try elevate each other. I have been an activist in a small way all my life. I would go into school politics. I would want to be the class prefect because I hated to see the notoriously talkative boys and girls being punished, even though they didn't actually do anything wrong. And that sparked a lot of, I guess, activism in me. I'm being raised by a single mom. I lost my dad when I was 12 years old. And my mom is a foreigner in Kenya. She's Irish. So her life has revolved around me and making sure I'm safe and taken care of. Yet she still, although concerned as she may be, she lets me go out into these protests because at the end of the day, she is happy that I am voicing my concerns. She's alive to the fact that she won't be around forever. So she's very proud of me, I like to think, of course, for taking this initiative. The demos in Kenya have been, I can only describe them as something I've never seen in my life. They started fairly calm last Tuesday. Thursdays were definitely bigger, more intense. There was a bit more pressure put on from the police force. We lost 2 lives, if I'm not wrong, on Thursday. But yesterday Tuesday, was the mother of all demonstrations. I've never seen anything like it. I'm still actually quite shaken by it. We lost over 10 lives on site. We've been hearing confirmed death after confirmed death ever since. Very vocal people are being kidnapped. They're being held in places where we don't know. We've been campaigning now on social media, free our different activists. These are young people who have done nothing but speak eloquently, discuss the issues surrounding the Kenyan Finance Bill. So what exactly is the Kenyan Finance Bill? This is an act made by the legislature to obtain funds for the public treasury in line with the budget set each year. So the Kenyan Finance Bill that we talk about rejecting is the Kenyan Finance Bill of 2024. So why do so many people have a problem with the Finance Bill? The Finance Bill of 2024 has been an overwhelmingly punitive bill that negatively impacts the youth in so, so many ways. And it has been seen to be very harsh on young people who are already so economically disadvantaged. Kenya is going through one of the worst economic times we've ever faced. So you have a young generation of people who are trying to build futures for themselves in a system that's already so difficult. And we are being taxed and taxed even more for loans that we do not take. I understand there's a lot of pressure on the Kenyan government by the IMF to put in place policies that will allow us to collect more revenue to pay the loans that we have taken. However, when it comes to this policy of taxation under which the finance bill is premised, when you compare it with the budget, it's completely unproportional. When it comes to the Gen Z role in the demos, I think white Gen Zs have been considered to have taken a key role in these demos and protests more than anyone else is the spirit of unity that came with this protest, with this movement, with this revolution. Previously, we've had many a protest in Kenya, but our protest in Kenya thus far would be my political party versus yours, my tribe versus yours. Unfortunately, we live in a country where for a long time, our politics was governed by our tribes. So this was the first protest that Kenya has ever seen that there was no question of my political affiliation, my party, my governor, my senator, my tribe. Young people were so united. We refused all funding from members of parliament. We refused all funding from political parties. We came together through TikTok, through Instagram, through X, through WhatsApp and social media channels to mobilize for these protests. That's why it was so impactful and so different. And that is why it was considered a Gen Z or a TikTok podcast, TikTok protest, rather, pardon me. The issues in the bill that have irritated Kenyans the most, especially, of course, young women and girls, are some extremely punitive measures that some people argue were sort of shadows or smoke screens to distract from what they actually wanted to achieve. So, for example, you'll take something like sanitary pads. If you're not familiar with Kenya, maybe I'll just give you a brief background. Kenya has been, for the longest time, facing a massive issue of period poverty. Period poverty in the sense that young girls and women, especially in the more rural parts of Kenya, have not been able to access sanitary towels and pads for a long period of time. One, because they're inaccessible, they're expensive, there's poverty. So for so many reasons, girls suffer because of this. Girls trade sex for sanitary pads. You will find very old men taking advantage of young girls who have started their cycles, 13-year-olds, 14-year-olds, and telling them, okay, you want these pads so that you can go to school? You know what you have to do in exchange. So this has led to teen pregnancies. It's led to forced marriages. It's led to so many counter issues that could have been prevented with access to a sanitary towel. As of now, sanitary towels in Kenya are not subject to a VAT tax, a value-added tax. They propose in the new finance bill to subject it to 16% tax, only making them more expensive and more unavailable. Similarly, diapers. Diapers are subject to a different tax. Diapers will be subject to what's called the eco tax. The eco tax is a good tax in theory. It's a tax that seeks to make you pay for the environmental degradation that comes with the product you are importing. However, it is not realistic because it's taxing all rubber products, meaning even the wheelchairs that have rubber tires are going to be taxed higher, making them more inaccessible. The plastic bag that your loaf of bread comes in is being taxed, but that loaf of bread itself is also being subject to a new tax. So literally everyday items are being taxed beyond recognition. You have single mothers who are already crying out every day that diapers are so expensive, they've had to resort to nappies, which can be not as clean when you don't have good access to water. These diapers are being taxed. Another bill that people are a bit upset of is the motor vehicle tax. So the proposed tax on motor vehicles works in the sense that you pay 5% on the value of your car every year as you're paying your insurance premium, you pay a 5% motor vehicle tax. This tax is based on the value of your car, the age of it, the CCs, all of that. However, this tax applies really strongly to young people who are just trying to save up to buy the smallest car. So one of the smallest cars you can get in Nairobi is a Mazda Demio or a Vitz. It's considered a small economical car. These cars have been subject to so much import tax lately that seeking to apply another tax just makes it feel like young people should never be able to buy their cars. Because on the other end of the spectrum, you have these government vehicles, these huge V8 engine cars. I think they have 6 to 8 per member of parliament. these vehicles will not be subject to the motor vehicle tax. So it is, we find it very ironic that young people are paying taxes that our leaders are absent from. So that's what upsets people a lot. And when I talk about the budget, I mentioned that the budget was read before the finance bill. So the budget basically, as you can imagine, gives us an idea of how much money we need each year. And then the finance bill seeks to address how we will raise that money. So Kenya's budget for the incoming financial year was 4.1 trillion shillings. Well and good. However, only 750 billion shillings of that money was set to be for development. So that's development of our health sector, our educational sector, our roads, our railways. However, 1.6 trillion was for running offices. Now, Kenya is known to pay our politicians notoriously high salaries when you compare it to the minimum wage. One of the offices that claim massive amounts of money, among many others, is the office of the second lady. So that would be the wife of the deputy president. Under the finance bill of 2024, the office of the second lady is set to receive 557 million shillings a year with no clear idea or direction of what that office has to do in society or what the functions of that office is. So it's just a mystery, 557 million you get just for earning a title. Similarly, another anger-inducing factor was there was a policy introduced by the former first lady, Madam Margaret Kenyatta, the Beyond Zero campaign that sought to end maternal deaths. There was a massive issue in Kenya at one point of maternal deaths because of lack of funding to the maternity health sector. So it sought to care a lot for free healthcare for pregnant women and women going through childbirth. So up till the last financial year, the Beyond Zero campaign was still set to receive 52 million shillings a year, which I argue is very little, but now it is a lot of money compared to the zero shillings it is set to receive. So that's just a very small background. And I would encourage everybody to take some time. Resources are out there. Education is out there. Familiarize yourself with the bill because there's so many punitive measures within it that are only hurting the poor, only hurting the middle class, only hurting women, only hurting young people. Whereas those who have already made their money and are set to retire are, you know, the least concerned about the bill.
On Wings, you're listening to Nyawanga Owuor, a 20-year-old law student and youth organizer in Kenya.
I personally have been grateful enough to not have experienced threats, not have experienced abuse in my line of work and what I've done so far. I think there has been a general understanding that I've only sought to shed light on the situation. I've only sought to vocalize our issues. I have not taken any political affiliation regarding any party or any politician. That is not to say I am safe. There's other young activists just like myself right now, knee-deep in the hunt for a colleague and a friend of mine, Casmel, who has been kidnapped and we still have no idea where he is. So definitely it is a very scary time to be alive. Not only are they killing us in the streets, even if you don't go into the streets, they were following you to your home and killing you in your house. So yeah, it's definitely a very scary time to be alive. It's a very scary time to be a young person. It's a very scary time to realize that a bill that is to make money is worth more value than my life. The absolute violence that has been put upon us as young people is completely incomparable. We are essentially saying that we want the money we pay into the government to be allocated more responsibly, and they are killing us for it. We're telling you to stop stealing, stop being corrupt, and you are shooting us in the head. I'm really at a loss of words about the death, about the violence, about the things that I've seen. I don't think I'm ready personally to discuss all of that quite yet. There's also some things I've witnessed. There's some things people I have been with have witnessed that have not come to the media yet. And I do not want to be the one to put it out there for my safety, because we're really living in a time where we have to be extremely, extremely, extremely censored with what we say. And it's very shameful to be going back in a point where we are censoring media. We are whispering what we think. There's part of the finance bill that advocates for KRA, that's our tax system, to be exempt from data privacy laws, meaning they can look at every single transaction we make in mobile money. You know what I mean? So we've lost our privacy, we've lost our security, and they're trying to take away our Article 37 rights.
Article 37 of Kenya's Bill of Rights. Every person has the right, peaceably and unarmed, to assemble, to demonstrate, to picket, and to present petitions to public authorities.
It's absolutely insane. I can't put it in any other way.
According to the BBC, some reports of police and military violence against protesters have been proven false or unverifiable, but at least 23 and likely 30 protesters were killed, countless were wounded, and doctors reported 5 people had been shot dead while tending to the wounded. In addition, an estimated 35 suspected leaders of demonstrations were abducted by police, and at last report, 10 were still missing. Again, here is leading youth activist Nyangwa Owor.
However, the violence, the death, the kidnappings, the fear are not going to stop us. We're not just a Gen Z movement. We're a movement for everybody that believes in our right to a future. I really do hope we will not be silenced, because I think we have made enough noise thus far. We have made a mission. I think I would just like to encourage every single young Kenyan who is eligible to vote, take out your voter's card. You cannot cry for change and not be ready to make the change. At the end of the day, Gen Z at large and Kenyan youth just want to be part of the conversation. We want to be able to participate in policy making. One of the grounds for policy making in Kenya is supposed to be party participation of the public, but that's not something we've ever felt. We just hear about it in theory. We want to be heard. We want to stop being treated like children. I think some of the oldest Gen Zs are 25, 26 years old. We are not being listened to, we are being talked at, we are not being accounted for, we are not being cared for. Are women and young girls safe? I personally did not receive any abuse or any threats in my line of work thus far, and I'm grateful for it because I know I'm a minority. Definitely young people, young activists, have received threats. Not only have they received threats, many of them have gone missing. Many of them have been held, you know, against their will in secret locations. I, of course, am worried, but I'm doing my best to keep myself safe. And at the end of the day, I know I am not doing anything wrong by speaking out based on merit and fact. I've not aligned myself with any political affiliation. So in everything that I do it cautiously. And I know that I am just, you know, exercising my right. Women and young girls, of course, should they be faced with physical confrontation, would be less safe if what I have been hearing in the media is true and these young activists are being kidnapped from their homes rather brutally. Then you can argue that there is definitely a level of unsafety, and not just for women and girls, but for young people in general. I've been hearing reports, now I can't ascertain them for sure, but there definitely was violence in some of the informal settlements of Githurai last night, and a lot of the victims were young girls and young women, so it's definitely a dangerous time for all people to be involved. What can be done? I can just urge especially the foreign media to continue talking about us, continue shedding light onto the situation, continue donating to those whose families have been, you know, bereaved of their loved ones. A lot of young mothers lost their sons, and in a lot of settlements, their sons are their breadwinners. So continue to shed light on us. When it comes to social media activism, when it comes to talking about us, use all the relevant hashtags. That's hashtag reject finance bill and others. Post content that you are sure is true, that you're sure is honest. There's been a lot of mismanagement of communication, as always. But just be with us. Continue to keep us part of the conversation. Don't get derailed by other silly things that the media will want you to focus into. the atrocities that I've seen in the past day, the past few hours, I wouldn't even know where to begin. We're just basically young people that went into the streets and asked for us to be considered and asked for our leaders to stop stealing from us, and we were shot in the head. The streets of Nairobi smelt of blood and tear gas. It's all I can say. It was absolutely horrendous. I've never seen bullets fly through brains. You know what I mean? I don't want to get too graphic about it, but it was some of the most violent, unnecessary force used against peaceful protesters, some of which were teenagers. It was absolutely graphic. However, this will not stop the Gen Z in their focus. I don't even think it's more of a Gen Z protest anymore. It's just generally the young people fighting for our futures. We've received so much overwhelming support also from the older generations who acknowledge that we stayed quiet when it was our time. We support you for standing up for yourself. So, no, I don't think we've reached a point where we can afford to be silenced. So much has happened. So much has gone down. We cannot turn a blind eye. We need to continue talking about this and fighting for our future. We will not be intimidated. When we lose the fear, they lose the power. When it comes to religious leaders, there's definitely been a call by different members of churches and mosques and different religious societies to talk to their pastors and talk to their leaders into vocally rejecting the bill. However, it has not been a norm. It has not been a culture that I have seen thus far. However, the churches also have not been overly vocal at condemning them either way. I think the issue that a lot of people have with their churches and their religious societies is that they lay low or they remain quiet in times of injustice. But that's not something I think I want to even focus into, because churches in Kenya, especially some of the more influential churches, have been politically swayed from time to time. Some of our members of parliament have been known to give extremely big donations into their churches, donations with which don't match with their publicly visible records of salary. So when it comes to churches, churches in Kenya are not always what they seem, is what I will say. Kenyans and youth at large, I think even beyond Kenya, but I'll focus on Kenya, they want to be listened to, they want to be heard, they want to be considered, and they want to be treated as people worthy of respect. It's heartbreaking to see children of politicians being taken to international schools and then being taken to universities outside of Kenya after their parents grafted the money used for our education system. It's insensitive, it's disrespectful, it's demeaning. Young people want to be given some sort of compassion and care. Young people want our government to realize that the future belongs to us and not them.
That was Nyawanga Owuor, a law student and youth organizer in Kenya.
Reporting for Wings, I am Diana Wanyonyi in Kenya.
Wings thanks our Kenya correspondent, Diana Wanyonyi, and all our supporters, including your local community radio station, Suzette Cullen, and Genevieve Vaughn, whose events can be viewed at maternalgifteconomymovement.org. The Wings sound logo is from Libana's album A Circle Is Cast. I'm Wings series producer Frida Worden. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.